Now, Times Live is reporting that former President Jacob Zuma has missed his own deadline to challenge the decision that he faces prosecution, and questions over who's paying his legal bills may well be the reason why. According to the report, the economic freedom fighters have turned up the heat on Zuma's lawyers by demanding his attorney, Michael Hulley, be ordered to pay back millions in taxpayers' money already spent on his legal fees. The party says they are challenging a decision by the state attorney to pay unlimited amounts of public money to private attorneys and firms to perform and procure legal and related services for a politician facing charges of corruptions and other charges. The party says that payments in excess of 32 million have been made so far, and for more payments are to be expected to be made in the future. Well, for more on this exclusive story that's appearing on Times Live, I'm now joined on the line by Karen Morn, the senior specialist reporter and journalist at Tiso Black Star, who of course knows all about it and is the author of the story. Karen, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Karima. Great to speak to you.
Now, of course, President Jacob Zuma has missed the deadline for the challenge to the decision that he faces prosecution. And of course, we thought that this was part of the overall usual Stalingrad strategy of delaying tactics. By missing the deadline, the issue around just exactly who is footing the bill for this mountain of legal bills is, of course, coming into play. And what is fantastically unusual is the fact that the EFF is demanding that Michael Hulley be ordered to pay back millions in taxpayers' money. This is very, very unusual, isn't it, Karen?
It's completely precedent-setting, but on a kind of legal, political strategy level, it's extremely smart. Because they're basically saying, look, the president wasn't entitled to this money in the first place.
Right.
And they're sending a message to any lawyers who take on the president's ongoing former president Stalingrad campaign. And they're saying they're going to be real question marks about whether or not you're going to get paid. And Karima, while we are desperately trying to get answers from Michael Hulley about this, there have been very strong suggestions that the failure by Zuma's legal team to meet their own deadline to file a review today may very well be driven by the reluctance of counsel to get involved in a case where there are such clear and apparent questions about whether they're going to get paid or not.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge case. There's going to be a hell of a lot of work involved. And they face the very real prospect that at the end of this, the court of law, whether it's, you know, we expect the DA and the EFF application to be joined, is going to turn around and say, you're not entitled to that money. And potentially, if you have received money, you need to pay it back. That's the genius of the EFF application, is that it kind of goes straight to that issue of lawyers and says to them, there are real question marks about whether you'll keep this money if it's coming from the state.
Now, the interesting question, of course, is whether or not it is going to be coming from the state. And the questions that have been put to the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa, is, of course, the very same one. He has issued a statement to the effect that there is an understanding that was reached between former President Thabo Mbeki's administration and Mr. Zuma, and that they are guided by that. But when I questioned Kusela Diko from the presidency on the fact that this was going to be challenged by both the EFF and the DA, she was in fact ambivalent about whether or not the presidency would actually oppose it. In fact, she said she would. They would look at the papers. And that's, of course, the million-dollar question, whether Cyril Ramaphosa is going to allow the courts to actually just determine this matter and through that sidestep what could have been a very costly political move for him to make in a deeply divided African National Congress.
Well, lest we forget, when he was answering those questions by the DA and the EFF, he said, you know, I'm going to have to continue to go along with this deal, quote unquote, unless, of course, it's taken on review.
Yeah.
So he was very, you know, open about the fact that, until such time as the deal, which, you know, was actually reviewed by a court of law, he had no choice but to keep paying it. We see what happened with Ton Moyane's disciplinary inquiry situation.
Yes.
And we see that up until now, Karima, he hasn't indicated an intention to oppose.
Mm.
You know, in the normal course of events in this kind of litigation, there is at least a one-page document from the presidency saying we intend to oppose.
Mm.
And then, of course, subsequent to that, we see a full affidavit. We haven't seen that happening from him. We've also seen that he's filed what both the EFF and the DA contend are an inadequate record of the decision to previously fund. But I think the president, President Ramaphosa, has indicated, as he did, remember, of course, with the Sean Abrams matter.
Yes.
Where he said, I'm not getting involved in this.
Yeah, yeah,
the court
absolutely.
Must decide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to have a very much abide presidency. We're not going to see the President Ramaphosa getting involved in cases that are unwinnable. And I think that, you know, given, Karima, what the court in the North Gauteng High Court had to say about the way in which the former president litigated,
yes.
Given that every single one of the applications that he brought to keep, you know, information and evidence out of the hand of the state, to subvert the mutual legal assistance request with Mauritius, to undermine the warrants used to search and seize 94,000 documents, the representations issues, the Nicholson, every one of those cases ultimately ended in failure.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be very difficult for a court of law, under the constitutional principle of equality before the law, to say this man deserves to spend another 32 million rand fighting pointless cases. And I think Julius Malema made that point very succinctly
in
his
papers.
Affidavit.
Yes.
Yes. And he says, you know, ultimately, these cases were never going to be successful, but what they were completely successful in doing was achieving, years and years of delay. And he describes what happened here as a 12-year-long war of attrition against the NPA and then subsequently the DA.
Absolutely. It's just gone 8:15. I'm in conversation with senior specialist reporter and journalist Atitho Blackstar about the fact that former President Jacob Zuma has missed his own deadline to challenge the decision that he faces prosecution. And of course, it gets us to the very testy and very unsure and ambiguous issue around who's going to foot this enormous amount of legal bills that he has been running up. Now, one of the things that interests me, Karen, is of course the fact that President Zuma made a big deal about the fact that he was going to take the matter on review. The fact that he missed his own deadline, does that mean that strategy now falls by the wayside?
Look, we've been trying to get answers from Michael Halley about this because you and I both know, you know, people do sometimes miss deadlines. You can bring a condemnation application. This wasn't a court-enforced deadline. This was his own lawyers when he was brought before the court to ultimately face those charges earlier this year. They said, look, we'll come back in June, but just be fully aware that, you know, your big hopes and dreams of putting the former president on trial in November, which is what the NPA says it's ready to do,
yeah.
You know, you are going to be subverted by our review process. The interesting question now is if the former president doesn't get the money that he needs, and he needs a lot of money, there's a significant amount of money, and there's also the very real prospect, Karima, that he faces a cost order
yes.
against himself in the aftermath of this NPA case. You know, if there isn't funding of that, and if counsel are not prepared, there's a very real prospect that we may see the former president on trial in November. And that's the kind of more interesting question that may, you know, behind the scenes shape what our current president does with this.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the NPA is ready to pursue. But, you know, Billy Downer said on record, we can pursue this case in November.
Now, just for our listeners' purposes, we have tried to get in touch with Michael Halley. We haven't been successful. He hasn't been answering our calls. We wanted to, of course, hear from him what the reasons are behind them missing the deadline. Now, you were speaking earlier about the language that Julius Malema uses in the affidavit and just how smart the tactic is. And he speaks here about the fact that he says... The leader of the EFF says that, you know, it is challenging the decision by the state attorney, and you're quoting from the affidavit, to pay unlimited amounts of public money to private attorneys' firms to perform and procure legal and related services for a politician facing charges of corruption and other charges. And then you go further and you quote him and says, it has emerged that the payments in excess of 32 million rand has been made so far, and more payments are expected to be made in future. And of course, then that point about the 12-year legal battle. And Julius also makes the principle that, or makes the point that ordinary people facing prosecution would never have been able to spend 12 years fighting the state with unlimited taxpayers' money. These are compelling arguments, Karen.
I just want to quote directly from what he said there. He said, ordinary litigants are required to be circumspect and responsible in deciding whether to institute or oppose an application or an appeal. Mr. Zuma, however, was not inhibited by such sobriety. The state attorney apparently gave Mr. Zuma and Hully Inc. a blank check to wage a 12-year war of attrition against the NPA and then the DA with little or no prospect of ultimate success, but with total certainty of delay. I mean, that's an amazing argument, and it's absolutely borne out, because, you know, he goes further. He literally tracks the history of all the cases that were funded by the state. And Karima, what's also very interesting is that President Ramaphosa gave a whole lot of answers to the EFF about what the state had spent in terms of the funds. And Malema, in his affidavit, says, look, we've gone to parliamentary records of what people like Bridget Babandla and Jeff Khadebe said to Parliament.
Yeah.
And the numbers that they quoted
are much higher
than what you're saying. Then we have a situation where the DA and the EFF, the DA has actually gone so far as to sort of pursue a kind of other parallel application in terms of this, is saying there are massive chunks of the record of what exactly happened in terms of this fees thing that are just absent.
Yes.
So,
and they've also, of course,
concealment that happened here as well.
Yes, and Cyril Ramaphosa runs the risk of being accused of fibbing to Parliament on this matter.
Well, that's the point. I mean, one has to wonder where, you know, he may well decide, for instance, to file an affidavit, not to get involved in the case, but just to say, look, this is the information that was provided to me.
Yes.
This is what I was believed to be true at the time. But, you know, there were rampant PFMA violations that occurred with the legal costs, you know, in terms of the president. There didn't seem to be any real oversight.
Absolutely.
And we saw in the correspondence between the lawyers and the then state attorney, Aletta Macedi, you know, her frantically saying to Zuma's legal representatives, I cannot simply sign off on you getting this money. We have to be satisfied that this is an appropriate legal, you know, we can make the case for you receiving this legal funding.
Yes.
But it does seem that Malema is correct in saying that, you know, past a certain point, and he refers very specifically to a new deal that was done with the state attorney just 10 days after, former President Bekie was removed, in which way the political climate changed and there was just this kind of signing off and possibly like very deeply unaccountable payment of the former president's legal fees without that necessary PFMA understanding of why this could be financially justified.
Absolutely. We've got to wrap it up, Karen. Just quickly, what happens next?
Well, the big question is, Karima, we need answers from the president's legal representatives about whether they are pursuing this review or not. If not, why not? And will they then make a case that the issue of funding must first be resolved before the president can go on trial, given that they have such a weak case? If they choose to pursue, they may well try and litigate and fight for funding themselves. They're going to have to fight this case. But again, it's a question of where is the former president going to get this money from? And it's that question that I think a lot of journalists will be looking to in the coming days.
Absolutely. And given this attack by the EFF to go for Haile, it will be very interesting to see which lawyers actually make themselves available to come to the defense of former President Jacob Zuma. Well, that's where we leave it. An interesting developing story that is, of course, Karen Morn, senior specialist reporter and journalist at Tiso Blackstar.